Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Five, 4, 3, 3, 2, 1.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Guys Podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers, part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate. This is my dog, Oakley. Interested in what's going on. This week we have Gigi with us. Welcome, Greg.
Gee, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I like that, Gigi.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of soft.
Gigi is what my mother is called by the great grandkids. So, yeah. Gigi.
Great.
It really does work. Good job. Okay. So, Gigi is helping us as co-host this week. And we've got Hark Harold back with us again from EOS Worldwide. Welcome back, Hark.
Thank you.
Okay. So, last week, we've been, or for the last few weeks now, we've been going down the EOS model, and we went through vision, people, data. This week, we are going to be discussing issues, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, we've done the top half of the circle, then.
Yes, and it, yeah. And I've learned it doesn't go in a circle.
Exactly.
Top down.
It does not go in a circle. Right.
There you go.
There you go. Now, I don't know what happens in the center, though.
That's where your business.
That's your business.
So this is kind of...
You take care of your own business.
It's like EOS, the EOS model hugs you.
It's all around your business.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Do you agree with that, Gigi? Do you need a hug?
Well, you know, there's two factors of business. Mind yours and stay out of mine.
There you go. Did I just see producer Jen drinking coffee out of a straw? That is weird. If you have to drink a drink out of a straw, you're not old enough to drink coffee. Or burn your mouth.
See, this could be an example of an issue.
Yeah, that's yeah, I see an issue.
I'll make that as one of my, what is it called, personal goals.
There you go. Okay, let's get into issues. So part of issues is issue list and something called IDS.
Right.
Okay. So
again, we talked about the vision, people, and data components previously. And when you make those components strong, issues, your organization becomes transparent and issues become easier to spot. And so one of the things we want to emphasize with issues is not necessarily negative. Sometimes people hear of an issue, you know, oh, you have an issue and it's a negative, right? But there can be issues that are about opportunities or you know, something you could do differently. For instance, we need to expand. That's an issue, but it's not necessarily a bad issue. So just want to be clear that, you know,
That's risk 101, right?
Right.
You either have an issue, or if you, on a firm fixed price program, you want to turn most of those issues into opportunities then.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And so we talk about, you know, issues can be good or bad. It's just something that you need to deal with, and that it's just an issue. We will use the phrase, it's just an issue, to, like, depersonalize it or you know, make it, it's like, well, okay, it's just an issue. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we talked, you know, did the overview of the model, we talked about those two tools or disciplines that in EOS we use to deal with issues. And that is the issues list and then our issues solving track that we call IDS. So first is we talked about that, and this is about getting these disciplines down throughout the entire organization. So we start with the leadership team, But really, we need to get this down throughout the entire organization in order for the organization to be 100% strong in the issues component.
Okay.
So issues list is simply about getting the issues out of people's heads and down onto a piece of paper or in bites and bits in a list, right, throughout the organization. And it gets to where you want people bringing up issues. You want them to get them to the right place in the organization so they can be dealt with, not just, you know, bantered about the water cooler or whatever.
Issues from which perspective? From each individual's perspective, so it's not necessarily just around the company. It could be the processes within the company, right? Or
yeah, so again, so we start with the leadership team. So first we do an issues list with the leadership team, but eventually we get it out throughout the entire organization. So it could be that, you know, when we talk about processes in, you know, one of our next episodes, if there's a problem with the process or there's a way to improve the process, that may be an issue that somebody raises. And then wherever that's the appropriate point in the organization for that to be dealt with, it'll be on their issues list. They'll then resolve it using our issue solving track. So this is really, the issues list is just about getting the issues out of people's heads onto the place where they can be dealt with. And it's cathartic part of it is just getting it out of people's heads. So then we have what we call the issue solving track, or IDS. Which is to identify, discuss, and solve. Because what we found is teams are really, really good at getting in a room and discussing the heck out of an issue. I mean, they can nail that aspect of it.
Yep.
They're really good at it. But rarely,
dead horses are usually involved.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
But rarely do they identify the root cause, discuss it briefly with nobody repeating the same thing twice, because that's politicking, it's not helpful, and then solving it with action items that make the issue go away and not recur.
Do you guys use other tools like Ishikawa diagrams or fishbone?
So we look at the issues from those three perspectives. That's how we attack them. And so again, when we identify, we're trying to get to the root cause of the issue. And typically, if we can get it down to one of those six key components of the EOS model, then we know who's, and we'll bring out the accountability chart and go, who's accountable for this issue, whether it's a challenge or an opportunity, whatever, right? So, hey, it's an issue with sales. Well, who's accountable for sales? Okay, so now let's peel that back a little bit more. Is it a people issue? Do we not have the right person in the right seat? Okay, because now if we do that, we can now discuss that and then solve it with an action to either train that person or, you know, whatever. Is it a process issue? Because actually nobody's following we have the right people, but they're just, the process is wrong. Well then, so we identify it down to the root cause, discuss it, and solve it with who is accountable for resolving that issue. And then if it comes back, well, then we have a different issue, right?
It's a new one.
Right. We have a new issue in that whatever we did last time didn't work. So now we go back. Is that a people issue because the person was supposed to resolve it didn't, or what?
Okay. So, see, it's an agile story.
That's what I was just going to say.
You're going back and relooking.
You don't just bring it up. You just create a new story around it so you can figure maybe that's what it takes, though, right? Maybe I've defined my issue too loosely, so I couldn't really find out who's responsible for it because maybe I defined it wrong in the first place.
Correct. And I know as you were talking through that, the thing that kept popping back in my head from, just experience-wise was the whole issue discussion recommendation kind of thing. It's right along the same lines, you know, the people might have heard as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, usually the way an issue gets solved is there's one, two, three action items that somebody needs to do. And so we document those. And when we get to the traction component, we'll talk about that. But we document what are those action items that need to happen to resolve this issue and make it go away so it doesn't recur. And then again, if it does recur, that's a separate issue because we should, like, obviously we didn't identify the root cause correctly, or that person didn't do what they're accountable to do.
you didn't fire the right person the right time the first time.
Or you didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so and we have two different kinds of issues lists.
Okay.
So we have a long-term issues list and a short-term issues list. So the way we define long-term issues, those are issues, and again, could be challenges or opportunities that we know about. So we've gotten them written down so we don't forget them. But we're not going to deal with them in the next 90 days. Like, we know it's out there. Maybe there's a great opportunity, and it's just like, yeah, but we're not going to do anything on that right now. But it's not in your head anymore. It's on a list, so you don't have to keep thinking about it, right?
Right.
And so those are the long-term issues, in our definition, are ones that we're not going to deal with in the next 90 days. Those go on our Vision Traction Organizer, that VTO that right. we discussed.
Okay.
So that they're captured. And you always have it. And we're going to, again, we are going to review those every 90 days. And at some point, maybe we'll say, hey, okay, this is the quarter we're going to tackle this.
We know we've got a list of issues and this kind of thing, but there are certain things that are a higher priority that we've got to get to first. And yes, we identified that that's going to be something we have to tackle. It's just not going to be right now.
Right.
Do you have goals for how many issues you should find?
No, it totally depends on the organization and how they're ready to move forward. You know, we'd rather have a lot of issues on the list because we can revisit them, and we're always going to revisit them and then decide. Again, I'm speaking specifically to the ones on the VTO, the longer issues. We're going to review those every quarter and decide, are they a priority? Is it still an issue? Because sometimes maybe, well, no, it's not an issue anymore because of other things we did, so it just goes away. But every 90 days, we look at those issues and make a conscious decision on, are we going to tackle that, or are we going to put it off for at least another 90 days? And putting it off isn't necessarily wrong, because, again, you're documenting, hey, I know we're going to deal with this at some point.
Right.
And then the short-term issues are those that we are going to deal with sometime in these next 90 days. So those go on your weekly issues list in the level 10 meeting that we're going to talk about when we get to traction. But those are ones that you're going to look at every week and decide, is this a company priority this week? And again, it may be, yes, it is. And it may be, well, no, not this week, but this isn't a long-term issue. We do need to resolve it. But this week we have higher priorities.
And at the same time, I know the organizational side of me says, I put everything down on the list and this kind of thing, because when I get to scratch it off, I get to feel better about it.
Yes.
So, you know, add all those things on there. And if they resolve themselves, hey, guess what? I get to take credit for it and scratch it off anyway.
Exactly.
So your issues list, and apologize for coughing here. I don't know what's going on. Got a cough drop, got water. Must be the allergies.
Lessons. Allergies, really? That's what you're going with?
Okay, it's the palm trees.
Maybe it's work.
The palm trees. On GG's shirt.
GG. I'm so going to do an AI rendering of GG now. There's lots of cool tools out there. Okay, so back to your issues list. Long-term, short-term. Short-term is weekly. Long-term is greater than 90 days. So what does the form look like for this? Is it simply a list? Or do you have a resolution section as well? Do you write down the resolution of each one of these? So you've got history behind them?
Yeah.
So like lessons learned database, if you will, or?
Yes. So so a couple of things. One is, so yes, it's quote unquote just a list. So it's just a list. And what we do every week during our weekly meeting that, again, we'll talk about in the traction section, every week we identify the top three priorities for that week. And again, it's not how they're listed on the sheet. It's we look at all of them and identify what are the three that we need to deal with this week. We number one, we IDS it. We identify it down to the root cause, discuss it, and solve it with action items, okay? And we capture those action items, and I'll come back to that in a second. But then we've got those three resolved. We take the next three and just prioritize them again. What are the priorities for this week that we need to deal with? And eventually, you know, in a weekly meeting, you may end up dealing with three issues, depending on what they are. You may get through 12. Just depends. But it doesn't matter in that you're always dealing with the priority issues that week. And then again, there's software out there that people can use, or you can just, you know, use an Excel spreadsheet, which just lists, here is the issue, here is the action, this is how we're going to solve it, and what are those actions, and we call those to-dos that they're going to then report on the next week, and are they done or not done? So the actions that take, and that way you also have that ability to go back and look and say, well, wait a minute, didn't we solve this issue or something really close to it 3 months ago or 2 weeks ago? And you can go back and go, yeah, it is the same thing. So obviously we didn't get to the root cause. So let's try it again.
Okay. let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to continue on that road. Just as a reminder, because I'll probably forget. I want to ask about bucketizing these types of things. So
write that down.
Okay, I'll write that down. So before we do that, we'll be right back on a break.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit fivestar.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Now back to the show.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Nate. This week we have Hark Harrell back with us from EOS Worldwide. We're discussing the EOS model. So far we've went through the vision component, the people component, the data component, and this week we're talking on issues. So right before break, we were just talking about, I had asked the question whether or not you can capture these as lessons learned. Is it a database? And you had mentioned that it could be anything, right? It could be Excel, it could be a database, it could be, I guess, handwritten paper if you wanted to. Do you find most companies, when you work with them, do they organize it after the issue has been complete or what they think is complete? Do they bucketize those issues so it's easier to go back 4 months later to say, hey, where was that? Or
yeah, it really depends on the organization, because some companies, they use Asana, right? And so they will use that software to run their L10 meetings, and they'll capture the issues in there. Some will transfer it to a different system to catch because they think it may be more searchable,
so
the database.
Before you move on, let's can you explain to people what Asana is?
So Asana is a software program that is used for project management mainly, but it can be used for other things, like to assign tasks, to track tasks for priorities. It's just a software. There are a couple organizations that have software specifically for companies running on EOS, and those are 90.io, and then EOS is launching a software platform. It's in beta right now, but those are designed specifically for companies running on EOS. And so, but you don't have to use them. Some people use an Excel spreadsheet. It just is up to what works for that organization.
Okay. You're up, Greg. Sorry. You're up, GG.
GG, you're up.
What am I up for?
I don't know.
Okay. So, no, the whole process, though, as far as doing the tracking, this kind of thing, Nate was just hitting on that. I know from the software factory that Nate and I work with, there are multiple different tools. So, understanding that, you know, Asana is just one tool that's out there, it's just part of the package. It depends on what works best for them.
Exactly. And that's why the 90.io and the EOS One software are designed specifically for this. If you're going to use Asana or whatever, you just have to modify, and I'm not smart enough to know how to do that. I just know that some organizations do, and they're able to make, because they're like, we already have a task management system. We just want to use that. It's like, whatever works for you, however you want to transfer it, whatever works for your organization.
With the EOS system and what you've seen with other organizations as they start going through this and they start looking at their issues, I know Nate mentioned before, you know, kind of bucketizing this kind of thing. do they tend to do that along kind of the major staff type sections, as far as, you know, you're going to have personnel, you're going to have ops, you're going to have, do they tend to do it that way, or is there another way that that's more effective or that you've seen used?
Yeah, for creating the issues list,
right?
Basically, yeah. So when we're working with the leadership team, we're going to take an initial, when I'm doing the implementation with them, when I'm in the all-day session with them, issues will arise. Like, they just, like, come out because we're having these discussions on how right. they're operating the business. And so we just capture those. And that's our initial issues list, is whatever comes up during that. And then we identify those. And, yes, anybody can add issues. I encourage people when they're up and running on it, like, you don't have to wait for the weekly meeting to, like, go, hey, I want to add an issue. Like, just add the issue, right?
Right.
Especially depending,
yeah,
on, depending on the software, et cetera, right? When I was in Bunker Labs, we were running on EOS. I had the software, so, like, if something came across me as an issue, I just went into the software and put it in there. And then when we got to the next meeting, again, we used the issue-solving track, and we would just look at all the issues and prioritize what are the top three. And if I felt that that was something that, like, listen, this is a priority this week, and it can be a priority for a variety of reasons. One is, you know, it's a big issue, like, we really need to resolve. The other might be, well, it's to prep for the board meeting that's on Friday, so we need to talk about it today. It's a priority, right? So it could be a time priority. It could be a, you know, whatever the priority is for the organization.
What about issues that get brought up to the leadership team, and it's a recurring issue that continues to happen, and the leadership team, you know, takes an approach on, well, that's the way we do it. But you go, yeah, but it's an issue all the time. You know, how do you kind of push through some of those things, especially if it's a small business and, you know, the owner says, I've got, you know, this is the way I've always done it. I'm not, you know, I don't want to change those types of things.
Yeah. So then the owner's the issue, right?
Right.
But I mean, that is the, you know, the organization has to be willing to address it. And so in that case, maybe an employee sees it as an issue, but for the leadership team, it's not, because they just understand that this is what's going to happen, right? And so then how you resolve the issue is by getting back with that person and explaining to them, you know, educating them so that it's not seen as an issue, right? You resolve the issue in different ways depending on what the answer really is.
Okay.
Okay. So you get into these issues as an implementer. Do you help them every week then and walk them through the process of how they pick their priorities? Is it a voting system, or, I mean, how do they do that?
Yeah, so it as always, right, the right answer is it depends. So, but in reality, what we teach them is, hey, it's however you decide what the priority is. Like, it's what the organization feels. And so if there's a discussion on, hey, I think this is number one, and somebody else says, well, I think this is number one, then... like the integrator, if we go back to the accountability chart that we talked about, yeah, with, you have the functions and then an integrator who's running the organization. The integrator is the decider. They're the decision maker. And so it simply becomes, hey, the chief of sales says this is the number one issue. The ops guy says this is the number one issue. Integrator, which is it? And you just go, and they make a decision. If they can't make a decision, then you got an issue. Right. So it is the integrator we point everything back to the integrator. If there's a tie, if there's a, you know, difference of a integrator, what's the decision? We move on. Okay. Which also precludes that, in the D, the identify, discuss, and solve.
Right.
It precludes that discussion from going, it's like, everybody had their, you get your opinions out, because we're not going to say the same thing twice. That's politicking. Okay. Integrator, what are we doing? And that's that person's job. That's their accountabilities.
Okay. So once you get them prioritized, and help, I'm sure it can get probably heated, because everybody's very passionate about what they're in charge of, right? If I'm in charge of ops, GG here is in charge of personnel. You know, everybody wants to have their number one priority. But
yep.
if everything's priority, nothing's priority.
Correct.
So that's why you said that integrator is the key point there.
They make the decision, period. Okay. Dot. And then we go through. So again, as an implementer, I work with the leadership team to get them up and running on EOS and to know the tools and the disciplines at that level. In the EOS journey that we take with a client is typically 2 years. And so over the course of 2 years, they roll EOS out throughout the rest of the organization down to the division level or however many, you know, layers it is, and train them on using these different tools. So again, so 100% strong in the issues component is all about there's issues lists throughout the organization, and they're using the IDS process, that prioritization, identify, discuss, and solve throughout the entire organization. And so what will happen is something will be identified in the sales division's weekly meeting as an issue. And it'll be, okay, but we can't resolve this here. So then you move it up, right? So then the salesperson will bring that to the leadership team, in this example, as the issue. And then it gets to where it can be resolved. And sometimes stuff that will be, you know, noted at the leadership team level is like, actually that can be resolved at the ops level. So let's move it to their meeting, to their issues list, and we'll just get what is the resolution reported back to us.
Okay.
So you talked about the integrator just a moment ago as well, and it struck me as, so how do you identify who the integrator is?
Yeah. So in the accountability chart, which we are going to take work with the leadership team to identify, so there are three major functions that in any organization. There's a sales and marketing function, an ops function that delivers a product or service, and a finance function which takes in monies, pays bills, buys supplies, etc. And then above that, on the fourth function that we identify is called the integrator.
Okay.
And that's the person who, you know, beats the drum, keeps the trains running on time, makes the decisions, is the one who, you know, is responsible for the P&L, all of that. And so the integrator is determined during our first meeting. We'll have who is the integrator. We'll go through and who's in each of these leadership team seats. Sometimes that changes.
I was going to say, it seems to me that that would be the president of the company.
So, yeah, and again, we use in EOS, we don't use an org chart. We talk about an accountability chart because I don't care what your duty title is. I care what you are accountable to do for the organization.
Right.
And so when we list that, if you want to be the president and COO or chief monkey officer or whatever you want, I don't, as the EOS, I don't care. Whatever you want to call yourself.
Oh, yeah.
But within the organization, you are the integrator and you're accountable for those things.
Gigi, all right. I want to be called El Conquistador, please.
You know what it's like to want.
I like El Conquistador. So, I thought it was pretty good. So, real quick, if you... Not real quick. Why are we? I'm in a hurry. You said top three every week. What happens when you get to the point where you have no issues? Should you always have issues?
So if you don't have an issue, that's probably an issue.
There you go. That's what I figured you were going to say.
Yeah, so some organizations, as they get used to it, again, this is we're on a journey. They don't start out doing it well, typically.
Sure.
And so, but as they get better and better, and sometimes people seem reluctant to bring issues into the team. And it's like, seriously? There's no issues?
If you're accountable, and you are always the one with the issues under your branch or under your accountability, then
So
I'd be scared to do that too as well.
So what's, and again, this gets to the open, honest, and vulnerable. You got to be or it won't work.
Why is it always my people that have the issues? What's going on?
And then, but what some organizations will do is say, listen, you have to bring two issues to every meeting. That's you bring two things to the meeting that we're going to discuss. And so they just make it that expectation.
That for those top three, right? Sales/marketing, or you can split those into sales and marketing, right?
Right, yeah.
Operations, and then your finance.
Yeah, and again, we customize the accountability chart depending on the organization. So we say there's at least these three major functions. Somebody's got to be accountable for these, otherwise the business is not going to run. So we could customize it to add more people than that. The typical leadership team that seems to work, and again, our target market is 10 to 250 employees. The typical leadership team size is 3 to 7, typically more around the 5 to 7 members of the true leadership team that we work with.
Depends on how old the company is too, right? You could have one person filling three different roles, I guess, if you're a two-person company.
Oh, yeah, thanks. That's a great point. Is on the accountability chart, when we go through that, we identify the functions and then the roles and responsibilities, because we do structure first, people second, and then we put the right people in the right seats. And you can have your name in more than one function box, because again, you may be the visionary and the salesperson. That's not an unusual combination, right? Because yeah, they're the people who are out doing that stuff. And the integrator may also be responsible for ops, especially earlier, right? Yeah, yeah. So you can have that, in which case there'd be fewer people in the meeting, right?
Sure.
Which is fine. What you can't have is two names in any one box, because
only one person can be accountable.
Two people are accountable. Nobody's accountable.
Yep. Okay, right. What else on issues? Anything else that we haven't touched on?
I don't think so. I'll just reemphasize again. We start with the vision, the people, and the data. And when those become strong, that makes the organization more transparent. And that's when your issues become more easily identified. And then we dig down to the root cause. So,
okay. So, Hark, how do people get a hold of you? If they listen to today's episode, how do they get a hold of you to ask more questions?
Yeah, that's great. Go to harkeos.com, harkeos.com. That'll bring you to my website. And in there's contact information. There's a way to request a free copy of the book Traction, which I'll send out. And you can also do an organizational checkup where you can go through and rate yourself on the 6 key components and see how you think you are right now, how strong you are in those 6 key components, to include issues.
There you go. Okay, well, next week we are going to talk process as part of the EOS model, right?
Correct.
As one of the final 2 components coming up.
All right.
Okay, well, till next time, it's just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.